If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
What? Who is it, Chris?
It's Congressman Ron Paul.
Well... Good morning, Congressman Paul.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
I'm going to have to fight you for that Barry Goldwater Jr. endorsement, you know.
You're jealous, huh?
I'm jealous of you in so many ways. You were, by the way, you were great in that last debate. I loved the exchange with John McCain when he essentially accused you of not supporting the troops, and you said, how come I get more money from the troops than any other candidate then?
Yeah, and he thought I would, that my kind started World War II, and I thought the Germans and the Japanese started World War II. But it was the Americans who didn't want to go to war too anxiously. We're the bad people.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing, Congressman Paul. At these Republican debates, it has literally looked like, except for you, it's like, who can get us into Iran quick enough? And now we have this new national intelligence estimate. It's been awfully quiet on the Republican side, hasn't it, except for you?
Well, you'd wonder why they don't perk up a little bit and wonder why we're able to raise money and get support. I don't know if you heard in San Francisco they were going to have a straw vote, and our people showed up, and they said, well, we can't have a straw vote now. And they asked the lady who was running, they said, well, they brought a lot of people. I didn't even know who they were. So they're really anxious to build the party with their people, not with somebody that might have a slightly different view and might be traditional Republicanism rather than this new Republicanism.
Yeah, whatever this is. Well, Congressman Paul, I mean, I think that that's why you're appealing to so many people, because on the Republican side, you're the only one that's talking sense about Iraq and the only one that's been talking sense about Iran. Do you feel vindicated by this new NIE?
Yeah, I do, but I don't gloat about it. I'm more saddened by it that we've gone to war by a lot of misinformation, you'd think. But I was disappointed. You say some are quiet, but our president wasn't exactly quiet. He says, I'm still going to pursue it. We still need sanctions. We won't change our course. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to change our course. They have actually been telling us the truth.
I know.
So that is rather sad, and here we were about ready to start another war to go after nuclear weapons, but they'll find another excuse, and Seymour Hersh says the excuse will be, it'll be the Iranian Republican Guard, that, you know, they're a terrorist group. So you got to go get them. I mean,
well, you know, Congressman Paul, again, you seem to represent the true conservatism of a Goldwater, in that you're against these foreign entanglements, that we shouldn't have gotten into Iraq in the first place, and you warned against going into Iran. And I do you understand the administration's reaction to this? First of all, do you believe the president? I mean, his own press secretary just contradicted him on when he found out about this report.
I have trouble. They're either awfully confused, or they're blatantly lying, and I guess until you can know and understand exactly what they're thinking, we can suppose, but it certainly looks like misinformation, disinformation. I mean, it looks like there's ulterior motives, and all I know is we're misled.
Well, I think there are two options. I mean, either the president lied about when he found out, or he's incredibly incompetent, as Joe Biden said, isn't it? I mean, if somebody comes to you and you're president, Congressman Paul, and says, we have some bombshell new information about Iran, and you don't say, what is it?
Yeah, you know, it's just totally bizarre. Then some people will give the presidents a pass and say, oh, well, his advisors misled him. But I can't imagine, you know, in my own little political sphere of running my congressional office, I can't imagine somebody in my congressional office, you know, interpreting something for me and misleading me, because I know, you know, I don't have time to read every single thing. You know, it's just so huge. So I depend on it, but I've never found, sometimes we'll debate an issue and say, well, you know, it can go this way, that way. But I've never had anybody, you know, mislead me, because they're there for what we believe in. But it doesn't seem that to be the case, unless it is very, very deliberate. It isn't just bad advice, I don't believe.
Right. Congressman Paul, you've obviously gotten, you know, quite a bit of attention for your fundraising, for a lot of the attention that you're attracting. Now, and across the board, you know, some from the progressive side as well. But I know a lot of people, when we talk about you, they'll call in and say, but you know, we don't agree with Ron Paul on a lot of things, because I think you're so right on the big issue of the day, which I think is Iraq and Iran and other foreign entanglements. Tell us more about your views. You're really more of a libertarian, right? Tell us about, like, the gold standard that you talk about.
Well, you know, I identify with the libertarians, but I take the oath to obey the Constitution, but I believe the Constitution is very libertarian. To me, if you're a libertarian, you believe in liberty. So if you don't want to run people's lives and you don't want to run the economy and you don't want to police the world, you're really conforming to the Constitution and libertarian views. But the Constitution was very clear about monetary policy. There was no authority for a central bank, and even silver is legal tender. You couldn't emit bills of credit, which is paper money. That's never been changed. The founders understood monetary policy. They had gone through runaway inflation, and each and individual states were printing money at will, and they had to stop, and that's why they had to have sound money. But now here we have a secret organization called the Federal Reserve System that there's no oversight, none whatsoever, and they create money out of thin air. It's absolutely bizarre, and it has served the interests of big government conservatives and big government liberals, because then they don't have to act responsibly.
Well, Congressman Paul, and you know I'm newly in love with you politically, so you know how when you're newly in love, you don't talk about things you disagree on, but I do have to ask you, because I am pro-choice, and I know you're pro-life. How does that square with your wanting the government to stay out of people's, you know, private lives?
You know, it's a tough subject, I think, for everybody. I think it's split in every single party, and I have been influenced through my legal responsibility of caring for the unborn, because I know there's a legal entity. I know it's alive, and I just think it deserves some protection. You know, not very many people who are pro-choice think about whether or not the baby has a right when it's 7 pounds. Nobody wants to abort that baby. So immediately, you know, even the most avid pro-choice person doesn't say, you know, the 7-pound baby doesn't deserve, a perfectly normal baby at 7 pounds doesn't deserve to die. So there are difficult times to deal with this, and some abortions were done before Roe versus Wade. I just don't like the process. You know, I argue the case that we don't need a federal government, we don't need a federal police force for abortion. You know, I want it to be done at states, and it would vary, and it would still be difficult. But I believe there's a legal responsibility, because if I harm the fetus, I get sued. If you're in a car accident and you kill somebody's baby, I mean, you have a legal responsibility. So we can't ignore that. And if I can get paid to do an abortion right before the birth, why is it that the girl who drowns the baby a minute after birth, you know,
right? But you understand, a lot of people think of it the same way as the Terri Schiavo case, that it's a private, you know, medical decision between, you know, a woman or a woman and her family.
That, you know, if you had all ethical people, that would be fine. But on the Terri Schiavo case, you know, I abhorred the idea that that was such a political stunt on a Sunday night, and get the president to sign this and come up. And boy, that is, that's equally sensitive issue, because that's been going on for the ages about how heroic you're going to be. And most people aren't for heroism for people who are comatose and at the end stages of life. Most people say, don't put any tubes in me, you know, don't force feed me. But that used to be handled before the right to life issue came about, and euthanasia came about. But doctors and patients and family just sort of, you know, acknowledge that, yeah, don't do a whole lot. We realize what's happening. And we were, even in medical school, before all this argument came up, it was sort of said, no, there's going to be no resuscitation. This patient is terminal and may have a cardiac arrest tonight, but you don't need to do anything tonight. So that was, but it wasn't so legalistic, you know, it was sort of understood.
Congressman Paul, I saved the most explosive issue to last. Now, you know, because you know, again, you have lots of big fans among my audience, but some people call and say, you've had this charge against you that you have written some racist things. There was a Houston Chronicle article a long time ago, and then I know we have your supporters call in and say, no, that's been debunked. Can you explain where all that came from? Because that's why we said, let's have him back and let him say, you know, what this is about.
There was a statement put in a newsletter that was my newsletter about 15 or 18 years ago, and it wasn't written by me. It's never a statement I made, but I had some moral responsibility because it was in a newsletter that my name was on, so I never said much about it during the campaign. But then later on, when I was out of office, Texas Monthly asked me about it, and I explained it, and they said, why didn't you always say that before? I said, well, I figured I did have some moral responsibility. responsibility. But it's not my sentiment. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. And, you know, you'd think after 15 years or so, it would be history.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. I'm glad we had you on to clear that up. Now, the other thing I have to ask, I don't know when the next Republican debate is, but as you know, Mike Huckabee has Chuck Norris on his side, which is kind of intimidating. And you're not a large man. Would you like me to see if I can get you Steven Seagal or somebody?
There you go. That's a good idea.
Because I get afeard for you at these debates. You're the only one talking sense, and it seems to enrage them.
Yeah, that does annoy people for some reason. And it might come up. We have one in Miami on Sunday, but it's going to be in Spanish, so we don't have to worry too much about getting people too upset.
All right. I'm going to work on getting you an action star as your bodyguard, all right?
Well, that'll be neat.
Congressman Ron Paul, thank you so much for taking time for
thanks
us again.
Thanks a lot.
There he goes. Congressman Ron Paul.
Sort of a phalanx of sumo wrestlers around the
corner. Yeah.